addict, and I was just at another meeting, and I was like, it's because everyone's identifying. It's really everything. It's the fantasy. It's the validation. It's the intrigue. It's the porn. It's whatever you could have in this program. I've got it. I've experienced it. Just to speed through my history, I was always getting really intense crushes on people, like from day one, like just obsessive. I saw Rachel crying, dancing with some other guy at the school dance when I was like third grade, and I was crying to my mom, and just like always this like intense, overwhelming like desire to be with someone. I remember I had a kind of traumatic middle school experience. I was with my father, who's an alcoholic. It was a lot of PNM at that time as an escape method. And then I remember at the end of middle school, around the time my father died, I got so obsessed with this girl, Emmy. And she was in my class. And back in LA. I was living back in LA. She was in Colorado. And I would just Facebook message her like nonstop, like every day. She would barely respond. I would like look at her Facebook profile, and I would just like adopt all the interests she had. I would like watch the same YouTube videos and like get into the same music. And it was just like, it's so funny because I really haven't thought about that until I was just like thinking about what I was going to say for the share. But that was a theme. Like that was a theme is like I fall in love with someone and I just adopt everything they're into. I did it again freshman year. I came into freshman year, had a crush on this girl, and she was really into like Harry Potter and Taylor Swift, and I got really into Harry Potter and Taylor Swift, and like it's just like it was so compulsive, and I'd like lost my identity so much in the people that I would obsess over and romanticize about, and because I didn't have an identity, and that was the truth, is I was just like kind of looking for, I had no spine and no backbone. I was just looking for someone to like mesh with, you know. I didn't care about like bringing myself to the table. Had a long-term girlfriend in sophomore year, lost my virginity, broke up. And then I remember I hooked up, I was like, drugs and alcohol got introduced, and I hooked up with a girl at a bathroom at a party, like after I broke up with my girlfriend, and it like was this whole other part of sex and love addiction that I didn't even know about. Like I had the romantic obsession, I had the PNM, and then there was this like kind of like transactional hookup thing that was like a total cocaine rush for me. It was like so exhilarating. It gave me like so much adrenaline, and that became its own kind of addictive pattern, right? And so there's just all these facets to it. The PNM stayed constant throughout high school. So there was that. There was these intense like love feelings. There was this transactional hookup thing. I got into some relationships here and then. I could not stop cheating, and it wasn't even like, dude, it wasn't even like I was planning the shit out or I was being intentionally deceptive. I would have a girlfriend and some girl would come flirt with me, and I just had no power to say no. I mean, I just like, it didn't even cross my mind to like try to resist this person. I would just like, if someone was flirting with me, I couldn't help but like kind of just like lean in and cheat and flirt and like, and just like in the moment, you know? And that pattern stuck throughout my relationships. It was never this like, I almost didn't have the wherewithal for it to even be this calculated thing. It was all just completely like I was on autopilot, and whatever was in front of me, like had to indulge in it. I went to college. I started seeing pros. So there's, again, like we're just piling stuff on the fire at this point. Again, same exact pattern. Film. Madly in love with this person who, and this is the theme, basically like could not give me a yes or a no. It was like a maybe. It was always a maybe. When I'd like tell her how I feel, she's like, I don't know, don't want to talk about it. And that's the thing that's like my fucking kryptonite. I just like obsess over that, and I have to get it. And I made a move on this person. I went too quick, and she felt unsafe, and that was a big like kind of incident, like a big breaking open of like my entire college experience that just like changed everything. And this is a totally separate thing, but I'm bipolar and I have substance abuse and all that. So obviously all those kind of combination of things, I ended up in treatment, ended up in the beverage program. In the beverage program, I started to do well. I started to get sponsor, thank you, sponsor, and get sponsor and do the steps and all that. And the girl thing came back. It came back. There was this girl at my home group, and it was the exact same situation where like she would just aggressively flirt with me, but she wouldn't like. It was no yes or no. You know, I wasn't being met, and I was obsessing over her. And it was the same pattern of the girl in eighth grade and the girl from college, where I would like keep texting her. She wouldn't respond. I'd get my heart broken. I'd be thinking about this person all the time. I'd eventually cross a line. She wouldn't be happy. And then, so that basically happened. Like, I was texting this person. I crossed the line. She made it clear I crossed the line, and I was absolutely distraught. And at this point, I had like, I told people about my story. They'd recommended SLA. I had been to a few meetings. I had made no commitments. I was totally heartbroken at this experience. I went to, I think it was eight. It was a Tuesday night. I looked at the SLA directory. I went to the first meeting next morning. It was the 8:30 a.m. at the West Hollywood Recovery Center, and it was raining that day, and it was just downpouring. And I was so heartbroken. I was so fucked up. I was sitting in this meeting. I was listening, I was sharing, just so fucked up the whole meeting. At the end of the meeting, I talked to this woman who is literally homeless. Like, she's just a homeless lady who like chills out and like goes to these meetings. And like, she was at the West Hollywood Recovery Center. And she was, and I was telling her all this, and she's like, you know what? Like, I see it so clearly. Like, you are a diehard like romantic and like lover. And you use sex as a way to like, kind of try to get closer to people, but there's a part of you that is just like so pure and wholesome and loving and just like wants to be loved. And it like totally blew my mind. It cracked everything wide open, where I kind of saw myself in a different light. And the clouds literally parted after that moment. It was downpouring. The clouds parted. I was driving home. I was like elated. And it was like my first, it was probably my most intense spiritual experience in this program or in any program, where I had just like such a sudden change of like understanding and mood. And the world literally felt like it was changing around me. I dove into the steps. I did a 90 and 90. I was calling five dudes a day religiously. I did these like religiously for my first 90 days. I have some mental health stuff, so I had another episode, kind of went back out for a little bit, but came back, finished it out strong. I did my steps. I created a dating plan. I went through withdrawal. And it was difficult, and I had all these ideas about what it was going to happen when I started dating. And at first I was like, it's got to be perfect. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll try other things. And then it was just this place of like desperation. And sober dating was like a really difficult period for me, I would say. Like, there was a lot of like yearning. And then I met the right person, you know? And I think that's a very interesting thing to happen in this program, is we create these really rigid kind of structured dating plans. Which is so important, because it's so important for us to have that level of restraint, that level of forethought, that level of wisdom about what we're doing. But then once you meet the right person, some of that stuff does go through the window, right? Because we are dealing with love, we're dealing with passion and romance, and that is like a force that's kind of like greater than a lot of things. And so at least my experience and the experience of a lot of the people that I know in this program, like, once you start finding that right person, there is this balance you have to strike between kind of this resistance and this thoughtfulness and the stoicism that is so important, and also this fact that you're kind of overwhelmed with emotion and love, right? And so I found a lot of people and myself kind of towing this line between like understanding the dating plan, striving towards the dating plan, not doing it perfectly, and letting yourself be overtaken occasionally, but also not letting yourself just be completely devoured, right? And so that is an interesting, I think, part of sober dating. I've been with my partner now for, is that time? 1 minute? I've been with my partner now for a year and a half. I'm planning on proposing at the end of the month. We're going to Rio. I'm really excited. Yeah, I don't know. It's, dude, it's like, this program has so many shades and colors. It helped me regain sanity. It helped me throughout my process of finding my partner. Talking to my sponsor was so valuable in helping work things out with my partner. And it's just changed the way I think about everything and the way I engage in the world. And it still comes out in my life today, you know? Like, we had recently a discussion around PNM, which is kind of a difficult thing for her. And I've had to like re-explore this program to really set some hard lines for myself around that, which I hadn't done in the past. And so this program doesn't go away. You know, they say, in AA, you just kill the tiger, and SLA, you have to walk with the tiger, right? And so that thing is always there. It always requires tabs on it, and it changes forms and shapes. And thank you for letting me share. We've now